Like I sometimes do, I like to start with a little bit of a story. So allow me to start us off today with the tragic tale of a parakeet named Chippy. Chippy was once a happy little bird, content every day to sit on his perch, swinging and singing to his little heart's content. Then one day, Chippy's owner decided that it was time to clean out his cage. And that's fine and all, but the problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. And so she put the end of the hose into Chippy's cage to clean out the bottom of the cage, but just then her cell phone rang. And so she shifted to reach for her phone, and she barely had a chance to swipe her phone when all of a sudden, Chippy got sucked up into the vacuum. Poor Chippy. Well, as you can kind of imagine, she freaked, you know, and she dropped the phone and she turned off the vacuum. She ripped open the bag, and inside there lay Chippy. Dusty, coughing a bit, but still alive, albeit a little bit stunned by the trauma. Seeing that her little Chippy was all covered with the terrible grit and grime. Yeah, there you go. All that terrible grit and grime that fills up vacuum cleaner bags. She did the only thing that she could think to do. She scooped him up and ran into the bathroom and tried to clean him off. She turned on the faucet and poured all this cold water off of him. And while he looked a little bit clean, he was now shivering, you know, because he was freezing cold. He was wet, so she thought, hey, I gotta dry this thing off. Couldn't find a towel, so she grabbed her hair dryer and started blasting him with hot air. Poor Chippy. Never knew what hit him. Well, a couple of days after the whole thing happened, you know, a friend who knew Chippy's owner decided to check in on her and the bird. And he asked how Chippy was doing. And she said, well, Chippy doesn't sing all that much anymore. He just kind of sits and stares. It's hard not to see why, you know. He's sucked in, washed up, and blown over. And while I'm happy to say that the story of Chippy is made up, the way that little bird felt just about sums up about how a lot of people tend to feel when life hits us hard. The truth is, life is difficult. Life is filled with burdens that must be borne. Thankfully, as Christians, God has designed his church to be a community where we are to bear one another's burdens, to help each other lift the load. So if you would, go ahead and turn over to the book of Galatians. Our main text today comes from the first five verses of the book of Galatians, chapter 6. So we're in Galatians 6. Verses 1 through 5. Galatians 6, 1 through 5. There Paul writes, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Now there are two main things that we want to glean from our text today. And the first one is that we are to bear one another's burdens. We're to bear one another's burdens. Here in verse 1, Paul tells the church that it's their responsibility to help out their fellow believers who are stuck in sin. You see, rather than gloating over a brother who's caught in a sin, maybe point some fingers and talk about him, all that kinds of stuff, you know, whatever, you know, a mature Christian will go and try to help him out. Now, the kind of sin that Paul is talking about here is not willful, defiant, persistent sin in this person's life, although that person still needs help. But what we're talking about here is an accidental sin. In other words, It's an isolated incident. The Greek word that's translated in the NIV as sin here is parapetoma, which isn't the usual word that we hear for sin, right? This literally means a falling to the side, like when someone foot slips off of a path and they stumble and fall, they trespass into foreign territory. And so when the person is then caught up in their sin, their trespass, they stumble and fall, right? And those of us in the church, his or her brothers and sisters in Christ, who are spiritual, are to come alongside the sinning brother or sister and help to restore them with a spirit of gentleness. Because after all, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Now, those who are spiritual in the church, right? Paul talked about those types of people back in chapter 5. Those are the ones who have put aside the envious, competitive nature of the flesh, the deeds of the sinful nature, the deeds of the flesh, and have led the way in developing the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, right? In their own lives. And so those who are spiritual, you know, don't have as their goal to punish or purge or retaliate against this poor person who just slipped up and fell. Their goal, the spiritual person's goal, is to rescue the erring sheep and return it to the fold, not to go out and have a barbecue. Now, this Greek word here for restore in verse 1 is katharizo. And katharizo can mean to mend nets, like over in Matthew 4:21, or to teach disciples, like over in Luke 6:40, or to equip for service, like over in Ephesians 4:12, or even to furnish what is lacking, like over in Hebrews 13:21. And all those verses should be on your sermon notes if you'd like to look them up later. You see, the idea is to take something that's broken or incomplete or defective, if you will, and to put it back into working condition. And when that's done with people, well, you know, we're talking about people, not a thing, right? So that's to be done gently. And that's why God tells us that those who are kataziro, you know, we are to kataziro a sinner, okay? Those who are to katazero a sinner is to be gentle. Those who are to restore them are to be gentle with that restoration. You can kind of think of it like maybe a fine piece of furniture that needs to be repaired and restored and refinished. There's a lot of work that goes into the whole process. It's not always easy. So same thing can be said with someone who's stumbled and fallen in sin. It's not necessarily an easy thing. It takes time. It takes investment. It takes care. Then in verse 2, God tells us that we are to bear one another's burdens. In other words, helping another believer to overcome the burden of a certain sinful behavior is one way to help someone bear their burden. We're also told that the bearing of burdens can be reciprocal, right? To bear one another's burdens. In other words, those who are weak sometimes and those who are strong sometimes end up switching places. Think about that. That all said, helping someone to overcome the burden of their sins is not the only way to carry another's burdens. You see, the burdens that we're to help others carry can include all kinds of difficulties that people face. What we're talking about here is really a heavy weight that might be being carried spiritually or maybe even physically or emotionally. Whatever it is, it's a thing that's very heavy to carry, and so it's called a burden. It's a burden that God says that those who are spiritual should be able to help carry whenever we can. Now, you might have noticed something in our passage that looks like it might be a little bit of a contradiction, depending upon your translation. See, back in verse 2, we're told to carry each other's burdens, right? But then down in verse 5, God says, for each one should carry his own load. Okay, so which one is it? You know, should we bear one another's burdens or not? Well, the problem here is our English. Because what we can't see in our translations all that well is the fact that those two verses are using two different Greek words that are sometimes translated just as bear. Back in verse 2, the word that's sometimes translated bear means something that's heavy or crushing or a whole lot loads more than anyone could carry without some help. And in verse 5, the word that's sometimes translated bear, the NIV actually, I believe, translates it as carry, is a word that's used to talk about the kind of pack that's usually carried around by a marching soldier. That's something he's supposed to carry because it was given to him. It's a part of his duty, you see. And that's the same kind of a burden in verse 5 that Christians are to carry. It's the one that Jesus has assigned to all believers. In other words, that's the pack that we're carrying out into spiritual battle. Okay, that's the one we're supposed to carry. And those are the particular Christian responsibilities, if you will, or burdens that every believer is called to bear and really can't be shared with others. That's between you and God. Thankfully, Jesus assures his disciples that such burdens are light in Matthew 11 and verse 30. Now, in taking a look back at verse 2 again, the last part of that verse says, "In this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." The law of Christ. Think about it. If we faithfully carry each other's burdens, then we will be fulfilling the law of Christ. Okay, so just what is the law of Christ? Well, from the scriptures, we can gather that the law of Christ is the law of love. And so the law of Christ is to love one another like Jesus loves us. Back over in the Gospel of John in chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus said, "A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." And then later on, also in the Gospel of John in chapter 15 and verse 12, Jesus said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." And of course, back in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, Paul summarized it all this way. He said, "The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself." You know, that really comes back from, back in the book of Leviticus, of all places. And so bearing the burdens of others is a genuine expression of love and ultimately fulfills everything that God wants us to be and to do. Again, God tells us that we are to bear one another's burdens, but just how are we to bear one another's burdens? What does that look like? Well, before we get into specific burdens and how they're to be borne, stuff like that, the fact is we all have burdens to bear. And that includes Christians, of course. And what I mean by that is, you know, there are people out there in the wild who have this crazy idea that somehow Christians are exempt from all of life's difficulties, troubles, and burdens. But that's not something that we find taught at all in the Word of God, or in life for that matter. The Bible's pretty clear about the fact that Christians will face adversity. For example, James chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3 tells us to consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. It doesn't say if, it says whenever. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. It's gonna happen. As a matter of fact, people of great faith throughout the Bible have all had their share of suffering and troubles. People like Moses and Job and Hannah and Elijah and Ruth and Esther, the apostles, and of course even Jesus. And so as Christians, it only follows that we too will have burdens to carry. It's something that even Jesus said we'd have to deal with. So it shouldn't come as any surprise to us when we do have troubles. That said, since we're all different, we all experience different kinds of burdens in different ways and intensities. But all of us have burdens of one kind or another that we all have to deal with, again, at one time or another. So what are some of those burdens that we could help to bear? Well, there's the burden of sorrow and grief. I don't know anyone who's not gone through that at one time of their life over something, right? There's the burden of sickness and aging, and there's the burden of emotional difficulties or scars from the past. There's the burden of a difficult marriage for some, and the burden of children with, special needs or maybe a rebellious spirit. There's the burden of unemployment or underemployment. then there's the burden of the consequences from breaking the law and sin and being just a downright fool, you know? And that's just a few of the many different kinds of burdens that people need some help carrying. But how again? Well, the first thing that's needed is a heart that's willing to help carry the burden of others. And if you have that, then there are two very important things that are needed in order to burden the, in order to bear the burdens of others. And number one is that we need to know that a brother or sister has a burden. And number two, the person with the burden has to be willing to allow us to help them. And those are two very important things to think about. Because in order to help someone to carry their burden, again, you need to know that they have a burden that needs to be carried. They usually don't carry a sign that says, "I have a burden," you know, or have something on the back of their shoulder saying, "Look at this thing I'm carrying, help me." So you need to know that they're struggling with something. And in order for that to happen, we need to be actively involved in each other's lives so that we can share with each other. But that also means that we need to be open and honest about our struggles, or else no one's going to know about what our burden is. And from the other side, from the one who wants to help, you know, if we're not observant enough or interested enough, then we won't notice when someone is struggling with something, which means that we need to be spending enough time with each other, or else we won't have the opportunity to be close enough to others in order to know what their burdens are. Of course, all that means that we have to be willing to invest our time and put forth some effort to develop those kinds of relationships within the Lord's church. Now, once we have an idea that someone needs some help in carrying their burden, then that person needs to let us help them. And that should sound like an obvious thing, but there are people who don't want anybody's help. You know, there are a lot of people that want to help people, but there are people who need help that are just sometimes unwilling to let anyone help them. And we could see that a lot sometimes, maybe with people we interact with. I heard an illustration this morning that I don't necessarily want to share, but when you tell somebody that there's an option, they say, "I know, but I don't like it." What can you do? You know? There's other things that are involved. Sometimes maybe it's pride. You know, maybe sometimes people feel like they need to just do it on their own. Maybe they're embarrassed by things, I don't know. Or maybe they feel like their faith in God alone should be enough. And so they think that they should just depend upon God and nobody else. They say, "Well, I pray to God about it, so I'm waiting for God to respond," you know. Now, to be fair, the Bible does tell us that we are to cast our cares upon the Lord. For example, over in Psalm 55 and verse 22, we're told to cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Then back over in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, Peter reminds us to cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And that's true. And so clearly we should take our troubles to the Lord no matter what they are. And we should trust that the Lord will give us the grace and the strength that we need to make it through whatever it is that's weighing us down. But we should also remember that God often uses people to help us to carry our burdens. For example, here's what the Apostle Paul said happened in his own life over in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 5 through 7. Here's what he said. He said, "For when we came into Macedonia, this body of ours had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within, but God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever." Now you see what happened there, right? Paul knew that God had comforted him and lifted burdens from him, and that God did that through Titus and through the Corinthians. You know, and we could do the same for each other, because just as long as Jesus is up there in heaven, you know, he's given us as Christians, you know, we're to be the eyes and the ears of Jesus. We're to be the mouth of Jesus, right? And the hands and the feet, and to go out there and to talk to people about God and to help people. So that's what it's about, right? But the only way that we can help others carry their burdens is to know what those burdens are. So again, we need to work at cultivating the kinds of relationships that we need to have in order to be close enough so that we can share our burdens with one another. Now remember, in bearing one another's burdens, we'll again be fulfilling the law of Christ, because we'll be loving one another. At the same time, those of us who need help need to be humble enough to be willing to receive the loving assistance of others who are wanting to help us. So, just how can we bear one another's burdens? Well, I don't know. Number one, we should never pass up an opportunity to pray for somebody. We talked about praying for others before, but, you know, that's an important thing, number one, right? Number two, always offer a listening ear, and if needed, a shoulder to cry on. I think back to Job's friends. The best thing that Job's three friends ever did for him was just to sit there and be quiet for 7 days. You know, just listen. Just listen, you know. Number three, communicate positive and encouraging words. Remember, we talked about speaking to one another and to speak encouraging words to one another. Number four, look for simple and obvious practical ways to help. It doesn't have to be big or grandiose, you know, but do things like maybe visiting those who are shut in or in the hospital and ask if there's anything that you can do. And if you can't do it, well, you can't do it. Maybe you can find someone else that can, but if you say you're going to do it, make sure you do it, you know. Look for ways to help those who might be older than you. That might be hard for some of us, but, you know, maybe just opening a door, helping somebody with a bag, whatever it is. While at the same time, don't forget those who are younger. You know, look for ways to help those who have young families or maybe a family with special needs, or overall just be on the lookout for those who are struggling, whether it's emotionally, socially, or financially. Number five, just be there again. You know, offer your heart, your love, and your life. You know, in other words, just be willing to be in a relationship with them, to be a friend. I want to go ahead and share one last thing with you. It's about the picture that's up on the screen. That's been the background of our sermon screens today. It's a picture of a statue that was erected in honor of Father Flanagan's Boys Home. That's a bit of a tongue twister, isn't it? Father Flanagan's Boys Home, otherwise known as Boys Town, in Omaha, Nebraska. And that's a real place. That's the place that the 1938 Spencer Tracy movie Boys Town was based upon. Mickey Rooney was also in that, if you like movies and you remember all that stuff. Anyway, the statue is actually called He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. And there's a reason it's called that. You see, back in 1918, a boy named Howard Loomis was abandoned by his mother. You see, Howard had polio, and he wore these heavy leg braces, and that made walking very difficult for him, especially when it came to stairs. And so the other boys, the older boys, took to picking up and carrying Howard up and down the steps. Well, one day, Father Flanagan asked one of the older boys who was carrying Howard, a boy by the name of Reuben Granger, if carrying Howard was hard. And Reuben just answered, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." And that's what that's supposed to represent. The spirit of love and willingness and caring for one another. To be willing to carry one another's burdens. He ain't heavy, he's my brother or my sister. And I pray that'll be our sentiment too, that in our commitment to each other, that we will love each other enough to carry each other's burdens, and that our love for each other will cause us to believe that no burden is too heavy to help a brother or sister to bear. Of course, in the end, over in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus called to all who would follow after him to come unto me, Jesus said again, to all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so today, if there's anyone here who's not a Christian, then know that any burden that you've been carrying can be lifted from your shoulders by Jesus Christ in making the decision to obey the gospel. So if you're ready to become a Christian today, then I encourage you to do that by putting your faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon your trust in him, to turn to him in repentance, confessing your sins to Jesus, confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior, committing yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins, and then rising up out of the water to continue to live your life for him until Jesus comes back again. Or maybe you'd like to share a burden today. Maybe you'd like to for us to pray for you. Or maybe you need to share some other problem that you're having in your life that, again, we might be able to share and to help out with. Whatever you need, I'd like to encourage you to come forward now as together we all stand and sing.